If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We got pregame coming up now in less than an hour. G-Bag of the day at 5:30, then LA Live still on deck for you. Here's the Chief with your football's finest.
Another player gets the bag, and more on all the NFL things you need to know right after this.
But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
All right, congratulations to edge rusher out of Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Nick Herbig has agreed to a four-year, $100 million extension, $42 million guaranteed. So one of the fun young edge rushers who has a lot of ability, kind of a part-time player for the Steelers. I would imagine they level up his role and his opportunity after giving him all that money. But he's a young player that some people were thinking with Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt, could he be a guy that would be tradable? I know John Owning has been trying to get him in Dallas for probably 2 or 3 years now, it feels like. But he is going to stay in Pittsburgh as he gets the $100 million extension. Really good player.
Dawson, on the Knoll Road, were you guys talking about him being a trade candidate, though?
Yeah. Yeah, all three of them. You know, Highsmith, Herbig, Watt. I mean, you're throwing a ton of money now at that spot, you know. Yeah, and that's one of the reactions is, can you have all three of these guys paid at the same time?
Immediately thought, okay, Alex Highsmith. You know, what's his future look like now? Yeah. And that was a name that I had heard kind of back around free agency that maybe was available on the trade block.
I mean, Herbig is just such a freak rushing the passer, even though he's got 31-inch arms. Like, he is the test case for you could still get to the quarterback if he got short arms. But, you know, I guess it'll come down to how the new DC wants to use him. He said he can do that Barham thing where I'm playing inside linebacker, I'm outside linebacker, am I rushing, am I playing off ball? But, you know, I think it's, you know, worth checking into if you're a team that really needs some edge help, if maybe they're interested in doing what their divisional rival just did and moving on from their former defensive player of the year.
Yeah, that would be welcomed, 100%. You have news out of Philadelphia with Jeff McClain on his Uncovering the Birds Odyssey podcast, alleging that the Rams were in the mix to trade for A.J. Brown, but they backed off after they got a piece of his medicals. Mm. So whatever it was there, I mean, think about the Rams. They're just swinging for all the fences, dude. They trade for A.J. Brown, can you imagine? Then they get Myles Garrett. They find a way to just put the most stacked team ever out there on the field. But I guess whatever they saw medically was something that they wanted to stay away from. So that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds over the course of the next couple of years there with A.J. Brown in New England.
He's had bad knees, I think.
Mm. Yeah, he's had a couple of issues for sure. Now he's getting up there in age a little bit, so that would be a disaster for the Patriots. You have their offensive coordinator now getting to see A.J. Brown on the practice field. Josh McDaniels says there's a force to the way he plays the game. Maybe the closest thing I've seen is Gronk. This is a big guy, so he's comparing him to Gronk a little bit. A.J. Brown is an absolute physical freak show.
He is.
There's no question about it. When it was him and DK Metcalf at Ole Miss, it was like, are you kidding me? These are Transformers playing wide receiver. Every DB was like, "Are you like? I can't believe
it's not fair.
This is what is happening to me right now." But you also get the news the day after A.J. Brown gets moved. There's Mekhi Lemon dealing with a soft tissue injury. And apparently he's good to go for training camp, or will be, but that's probably the last we see him in OTAs.
Oh, just, no.
Just a nightmare for Philadelphia. The day you trade A.J. Brown, your first-round wide receiver replacement for him is coming up a little bit gimp there.
He saw Jalen Hurts and was like, you know what? Gosh, my hammy's a little tight.
Yeah. Don't know about running in the middle. Don't know about running routes in the middle of the field with this guy.
Yeah. Now with the Myles Garrett stuff, I thought this was funny. He's going to play more primetime games this season, 7, than he's played in the last 4 seasons combined.
I believe that,
with
man.
The Browns.
Gosh, people are whoever has not seen Myles Garrett play is going to be in for an amazing awakening here.
And it's pretty amazing. I saw this from old Hembo, the stats guy at ESPN. Myles Garrett, of course, set the sack record with 23 in a season which the Browns opponents dropped back to pass 563 times. That's the third fewest in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Rams opponents recorded 658 dropbacks last season, the 7th most in the NFL. Like, this dude was setting the record for sacks in a season where opponents were throwing the ball at the 3rd lowest rate against
him. He's constantly playing from behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the opposing teams usually had a lead versus Cleveland, and so dropping back to pass was not something they had to do very often. He's still getting you 23 sacks.
Incredible.
Now with the Rams, where you're very likely to be playing with a lead in virtually every game, just what a nightmare to have to deal with.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
Except that Cowboy game.
Yeah, he did nothing against Tyler Guyton in Week 1 a couple of years ago. And that was his first game. I think Guyton's got his number.
You know, I
people forget that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he hangs on until his mid-30s as an elite player, because he's got the speed and the power and the technique. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Stafford moves on over the next couple of years and the Rams flip him back to jumpstart their rebuild around Ty Simpson. He profiles as a guy who might be able to play 36, 37 years old still at nearly an all-pro level.
Trade him again when you're kind of down.
Yeah, like they did with Ramsey.
Yeah, I like that. Now, I saw this from Deontay Lee at The Ringer talking about Garrett and just the impact that he had. So when he's been on the field in his career, opposing quarterbacks have had a passer rating of 87 and averaged 6.5 yards per attempt. Without him on the field, the Browns allowed a passer rating of 98, so it goes from 87 to 98, and the yards per attempt with him on the field was 6.5. It goes up to 7.7 yards per attempt when he is off the field. So for context, the Falcons had a passer rating of 87 allowed and averaged 7 yards per attempt last year. The Niners and Cowboys were at 98 allowed for the quarterback rating. So both averaging around 7.5 yards per attempt as well. So when Garrett wasn't on the field, whichever quarterback the Browns faced played like one of the league's best. With him on the field, that quarterback played like one that needed to be replaced.
I mean, even just mentally, like, oh my gosh, that guy's not on the field right now. You kind of take a sigh of relief.
For sure.
Like, oof, I don't have to worry about him this play. And ESPN put a graphic up during NFL Live today, Rams third down defense in the playoffs. Teams converted about half of their third downs against the Rams in the postseason. Points allowed 24, and they allowed a 99 total QBR. Both of those were worst in the NFL during the playoffs last year. So they desperately needed help on third down getting off the field. Myles Garrett does that.
I mean, the Rams now, I like the way Benjamin Solak put it. The Rams now have a top 5 quarterback, top 5 wide receiver, the number 1 edge rusher, and a top 10 corner in the league. Yeah. That's what they have right now. I mean, it is insane.
Les Snead thought he was going to get fired.
Yeah. And now.
Well, they won the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium. And now, where's the Super Bowl this year?
SoFi Stadium. Everything's adding up. Potentially for an Aaron Donald return. Oh. Of course, we've been talking about that since the trade went down. And Pat McAfee apparently texted Aaron Donald just to kind of see, like, hey, what's going on here? And he says, it for sure got me thinking. Like, the trade of Myles Garrett for sure got him thinking. He says, I'm 35, removed 2 years ago, got to see if that fire can light back up. So you have Trey Wingo that feels like he's kind of guaranteeing the idea that Aaron Donald is going to return. And if it does happen, I don't know, would it happen right before the season? Would he want to come in for training camp a little bit?
Nah.
I'll tell you what, I am bummed that we will not be in Oxnard for that that Rams joint practice, seeing Myles Garrett up close and personal.
Iron sharpens iron.
That would have been fun. I don't know. I know Trey Wingo has said that, hey, maybe there's something to the Aaron Donald thing. But the way that he phrased that, it just seems like he understands he's old and he's not the same. I don't think Aaron Donald knows. You know, he's going to go out there and see, number one, can I have the emotional hunger to prove something? Mm-hmm. But can my body get to the place that it was and be able to dominate like that? I don't think Aaron Donald wants to come out there and just be a guy.
Yeah, and I think that he would always just be more than a guy, but would he be the same level of dominant? Probably not. And would he be able to stomach that? I don't know. Like, he's used to being the absolute best on the field every time he's on it, and that likely wouldn't be the case anymore, but also playing next to the best player you've ever played next to, and how that affords you a little bit more in the way of opportunity with everybody having to worry about Myles Garrett. But, I mean, Aaron Donald is younger than Cam Hayward, Cam Jordan, and Khalil Mack, all still in the NFL. So,
he can definitely still
play. If he wants to, like you said, that hunger factor, if he actually wants to, I think he would still go in there and be one of
the best.
What
kind of a bag do they have? You know, obviously that doesn't matter to him. He walked away early. But, you know, will they pay you enough to feel respected?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think he could probably play at a Pro Bowl level, but, I mean, Father Time's undefeated, and those older guys are the exceptions to the rule. Usually by the time you're 35 as a football player, depending on explosive movement, you're done for.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see it.
He goes the Eric Weddle route. Like, Eric Weddle was on that Super Bowl team when they won.
Oh, just show up late in the season.
Just show up and get your ring. You know, basically. I'm just going to show up, basically play in the playoffs, and you know what? Boom. There's the story.
I'm sure the Rams would be totally down for that. I saw this from Dante Kaplotzwicz. Don't think I said that correctly.
My Polish brother.
But Myles Garrett had 13 sacks in weeks 8 through 12 last season. Okay, so in 4 weeks, he had 13 sacks. Jared Verse has 12 sacks in his entire career. That is the difference between Jared Verse and Myles Garrett. And Jared Verse is an absolute monster. But Myles Garrett is unlike most things we've really ever seen.
Half seasons work for him.
In 4 weeks, he basically had as many sacks as Mike has had in a season. That's a season high.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It really is. Now, I wanted to play this sound from Tom Brady. I saw this the other day, and I wanted to get, in particular, brought us your thoughts on this as a man who's been in and around the NFL for a very long time.
Yeah.
This is Tom Brady sitting down with Daniel Cormier, the former UFC champion, and he's talking about the difference between players on the active roster and practice squad players. Is he reaching or preaching here?
I learned this, you know, again, over a period of years, but there's 53 guys on the active roster, and there's now 15 guys on the practice squad. So there's 68 players, but those practice squad players are important because if anybody on the active roster gets hurt, they can get elevated to the squad. Well, there was times where these 15 guys would do really well in practice. And they'd be practicing, and you'd be like a scout team receiver. And I saw this happen a lot. These scout team receivers would come in and practice with, you know, the scout team. And they'd do really well. And I'd be watching. I'd be like, man, we got to get that guy. Like, let's get him up on offense. He's making a lot of plays. That's Darrell Revis he's getting open on. Like, we got to do something. Then all of a sudden, we're like, hey, man, you're doing really well. You got to come over here and deal with the pressure of succeeding now that you have expectation. And these guys are like, they weren't prepared for it. So whatever we saw in practice against where there was not a lot of pressure, now when they're put in a situation where there's an expectation for performance, they've never had to personally deal with that, and then they fail. And then what I realized was a lot of guys in those practice squads, they don't want to be elevated to the roster. They're very happy living this life where they could tell their family and friends, which I have no problem with that. Like, there's no problem. Like, you would just assume, though, that if you're on the practice squad, you'd want to be at the top. But the reality is a lot of guys don't want the pressure of dealing with top.
So,
Reaching. Well, I mean, listen, these guys, the whole idea is to be on the 53. The whole idea is to get a real contract, not a practice squad contract. The whole idea is to try and get yourself set up where you get enough accrued seasons, where you become vested, and you get all the benefits of being part of the union, you know, with like when if there was a strike, if there was something, sudden work stoppage, whatever, that you're part of all that stuff. So, yeah, and then you get all that, the benefits of insurance for you, your family, you know. That's... I appreciate what Tom's saying, but, man, I've never ever seeing a practice squad guy just being happy about coming to work and not, you know, they were usually walking up to you and going, hey, man, you've been watching that film? And watch me? And watch me? And I'm like, yeah, man, just keep going. You know, you might be BSing them a little bit, but, you know, but you do want, I mean, they want, there's too much at stake for their future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to just, you know, like Tom's a big about the pressure stuff and all that. And maybe in New England they had guys that didn't want to be. But everywhere I've ever wanted to be, man, the guys, they want to get vested. They want to be have a bigger part of the offense or defense. And they want to get a part of the pie that the other players who are on the 53 get.
I just don't think a lot of the greats understand how much more talented they are, you know? And whether it's like Michael Irvin talking about, the reason we won is we looked each other in the eye and said, I'm not going to let you down and you're not going to let me down. They assign afterwards like this narrative that their intangibles and their leadership and their work ethic drove them. And that's certainly a part of it. Like, you got to be willing to outwork everybody. But the talent is huge. I think that's disrespectful to the practice squad players on your team.
100%.
I don't even know if he understands the difference of money. Yeah, like, you will quadruple your money if you can get on the active roster, just minimum.
Yeah, you go from $234K a year if you're on the practice squad to $840,000
on the game day roster.
If you're on the active roster, for a full season.
There's so much other more benefits that the things I kind of walked you through.
Yeah, the pension, the afterlife of football.
Like, all of a sudden, you're in a better spot when you get vested. You get a bigger part of the retirement. You know, you don't. You know, I just never have seen any practice squad players turn down the opportunity to be elevated.
Yeah, like, that part was weird. I totally get what he's saying in terms of not all these guys are going to meet the moment, right? Like, some of them aren't going to be ready when you get elevated from the practice squad to the active roster, and the pressure is much bigger. Now you're actually thrown out there, and this is the NFL. But to say, like, guys are just content, like, I'm cool. Just let me – I mean, look, yes, it's a foot in the door. You're on an NFL team. But that's somebody that you probably don't even want on your practice squad if they don't have the ambition of being on the 53.
Yeah, and just about everybody that makes it to the NFL has incredible work ethic and discipline. Like, they don't get enough credit. There are the occasional idiots who got there with talent. But, like, the real idiots get rooted out. You know, it's only the super-duper uber-talented idiots that make it to pro football.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was surprised.
You're David Irving's.
Were you just so unbelievably gifted?
Throw my career away.
Yeah, and he got jumped on. A lot of players like came on there and was like, haven't met one person who's okay with just being on the practice squad. Ben DiNucci had some things to say. There was a lot of players that came out and said this. And I wonder how many guys are able to perform better at practice because they're going 100%, and maybe the starter guy is kind of loafing at practice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sure, I'm beating this guy. But then all of a sudden you get to the game, it's different.
That's a great point, Chief. Let's wrap that up, and we'll hand it off to the G-Bag of the Day in L.A. Live after we take a snapshot of the day's sports news coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6 o'clock. We got the G-Bag of the Day here in just a couple of minutes. And then L.A. Live right here on your home of the Rangers, home of the Cowboys. The Expressway. We go commercial-free to the top every night at this time. It is brought to you by the on-time experts. 2 hours ago, Ezekiel Duran joined us. Been an absolute hero. He was 3-for-4 last night. Jock Peterson doing damage. Lopez doing damage. Like, this could be a turnaround. And today in Frisco, the Rough Riders played baseball. Langford, Wyatt Bankford, 1-for-2 with 2 walks. Corey Seager played. He was 1-of-2 and then came out. I think he just played 3 innings. Corey Seager did. And they're likely going to play again tomorrow, and then maybe a return this weekend is on the cards. But right now we're manufacturing runs better. They're playing less selfishly than they have. We have the rotation absolutely dominating with 27 innings without surrendering a run, and Eovaldi on the hill tonight. Brian, you know, we've gone back and forth on this a couple of times. Are you allowing yourself to believe that maybe this is the turning point of the season?
Well, you said it perfectly, though. You asked Jared this question.
Yeah.
Is this just a 500 team?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you're onto something. It's very much what we're seeing in Major League Baseball. Cubs 10-game winning streak, Cubs 10-game losing streak.
Okay.
You know, we're seeing things in I'm
variance.
Yeah, I just appreciate the fact. I don't know when the shoe's going to drop for Duran and guys like that, but man, just keep riding it. Just
Two more games for the weekend.
Yeah, you just keep finding ways to sort out the bullpen, kind of get yourself set up for that, get these starters going again, and then the hitting, the fact that Peterson's hitting defensively, it hasn't been awful. I'm kind of worried about some spots we were doing when Foscue was playing second base.
Absolutely.
It was a little bit of
a little spotty,
a little gamble there, but man, I'll tell you, I think they're kind of in a good spot right now, but you nailed it. We're going to every week we're going to be dealing with a four-game winning streak and a four-game losing streak.
Yeah, and I hate to admit it, but I agree with you. And I'll hope for the best. I'm always willing to update my sports takes depending on how the team plays. And if they could put together a couple of weeks, I think I'm willing to get there. But I think this is a sign of the times that on the back end of a four-game winning streak, with all the optimism that we forced ourselves into over the last 2.5 years post-World Series championship, we're just kind of sitting here with our arms crossed right now saying, nope, this ain't going to do it.
Yep.
We're approaching a franchise record for a scoreless inning streak from pitchers. We could tie the 2011 record tonight. And if he goes 8, you will set the franchise record, or 8 1/3, you will set the franchise record. But that's not convincing fans, and I think it's the right you know.
You needed a 4-game win streak to get 2 games from under 500.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Because last week was rock bottom, old Chuck.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the Dallas sports scene, other than the Wings, we're all standing there with our arms crossed. We're all just kind of waiting. Stars, Mavs, Cowboys, or it's just we're all waiting.
Quick football thought. Jordan Mailata says it might sound terrible, but thank God it's over was his reaction to A.J. Brown being dealt. Let's just take account. Graham and Slay had to retire because they got old. N'Kobe Dean, Jalen Phillips, Reed Blankenship, who I'm told is good when he doesn't play the Cowboys. Then last year, Josh Sweat and Milton Williams. This Eagles team is significantly different. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, which is Alexander Hedrick back in the day.
I'm right there with you, Mr. Broadus. I like watching the Wings.
Yeah.
I do.
They're fun. They're absolutely fun to watch play basketball.
During the tournament, the women's basketball tournament college, I was watching them instead of the Miz. I didn't watch the Miz until the final four, bro.
You got me hooked. We were at the Burgers place.
Yes, and Cheeseburgers.
You got me hooked on that women's tournament stuff.
I like their style of basketball because it reminds me of real basketball. It's just not a bunch of, ISOs.
Passing.
Yeah.
Outside shooting.
Outside shooting. It's just like there's pick and rolls and they're setting stuff up.
Old school stuff.
Yeah,
playing out of the post.
Yeah, old Namath, whatever that guy's name. He'll be proud of that. Nate Smith. Yeah, shout out to that fool, man. You in that peach basket.
Name it too. I want to kiss you.
Bro, you was in your bag, bro, with that peach basket. Let's put it up here. All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530, brought to you by EastDallasDiesel.com. Mm-hmm. It's a Tolo Truck Tuesday, isn't it, Will?
Damn right it is.
Salute. Damn right it is.
Damn right it is.
All right, going for two today. We're going to stick with a show here on The Fan. It's called The Fan After Dark. Blake and Fred.
The Blake Elliott Show.
Yeah, Blake Elliott. Blake Elliott and his old lady, they are freaky.
Freaky show, right?
Freaky. I'm going to just let you hear it.
I would have liked to have gone out and gotten Rasmus versus getting Myers, who is a 36-year-old, huge body, and he had some good games. But, man, there's just things that defensively.
Myers is big.
We weren't doing.
I saw it in person. I saw him in person.
I believe you.
Yeah. It was,
I saw it in person?
Wow. I didn't know someone could be that big. On the ice, Tyler Myers, he's 6'8".
On the ice. Even in the cold?
Yeah, it was cold and it still was that.
You were impressed.
I was impressed. Me and my girlfriend, we were just standing there. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
I didn't know. Were you sitting in the corner or what?
No, we both our jaws were on the ground.
Wow. That's crazy right there.
It just got worse.
Yeah, both of our jaws on the ground, that's crazy. Y'all see that Diddy tape where he was like, he was really directing.
He was.
I did not he was watch really directing.
No. Is there a tape? There's actual tape?
Yeah. One came out so far.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Did they not scrub it yet? One. Is it still there?
Yeah. My man was butt naked, oiled up, like directing what other people need to do. No, put your hands right here. Put your, I was like, yo, put some underwear on or something.
Dude, what the hell?
God. Jeez, bro. Lord.
Yeah, and they're just rocking with it? Like, it's just no big deal.
They just ride with it.
Bro, shut up.
Yeah. No, put your hand right there. Okay, now hold it. Hold it. All right. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
This is so weird.
Cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Action.
And he's oiled up. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We have some boomers right here confused by technology. I say that respectfully when I say boomers. Okay, so listen to this audio. What I think happened is daughter's at home alone. Somebody came and knocked on the door. She got a little frightened, called dad. Dad called the cops. Mom and dad are at work. So they're talking to the door camera when the cops show up. Both of them at the same time at their respective jobs. Okay? Confused by technology.
Can I help you? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Hi. Hi.
Hello,
I'm Jody.
I'm
the homeowner. I'm at work. And my daughter's, I think she's home.
Are you talking to my wife right now?
But my husband reached out to you guys.
Talking to the wife, yes.
Okay, you can call the guy first. I don't know if it was just an accidental, came to the wrong house. He does see something at the end of the video, but I'm not too sure because he did knock on the door afterwards, but then he took off.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Both of you are coming through at the same time.
All right, so I'll let her talk to you,
okay?
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
I'm
going to
hang up.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to hang up. Now they're both gone.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hear you. Hello? Hello? I'm just going to call.
Yeah.
That's again. Awesome.
One at a time, please.
I'm just going to let my wife do. I'm just going to let my husband talk to you.
Okay, bye.
Chaos, dog. Straight chaos.
Okay, you can she called the guy first. I don't know if it was just an accidental. Came to the wrong house. He does see something at the end of the video.
House video. House video.
What the hell did you just say?
My Lord, man. It is a toxic Tuesday. It is a toxic Tuesday. How about this FedEx driver? Shout out to all you drivers out there delivering stuff. Wow, I got a StockX thing I've been tracking. And nice kicks I've been tracking. I tracked it today. I was like, all right, every 30 minutes. Delivery. All right, come on now.
Where about are you?
Looking for you. Yeah, we got a FedEx driver that was confronted because he was driving allegedly on a private road. And the owner came out there and confronted him. And I promise you, the dude probably smells like Keystone.
The f*** you gonna take?
Sir, what are you talking
about? You slow this mother f*** down. I nailed you the other day for that.
Sir, the speed limit says
15. This is a private f***ing driveway. You got that? It ain't your f***ing driveway.
I understand
you
that.
You slow the mother f***er down, or you'll never commit it again.
Yeah, the speed limit is 15.
The speed limit ain't 15.
That's what
this
that's
is
what,
a private f***ing road.
That's what my GPS tells me.
I don't give a f*** what your GPS tells you. F*** your GPS and your electronics. Okay. Drive like a white man or don't come in here.
Oh, no. Drive like a white man? What's that supposed to mean?
Mother
I don't know what it means, but I'm pretty sure I do, too. I'm pretty sure I do, too.
Yeah. 15's pretty slow.
That was pretty racist.
What kind of heat you getting, though, at the house, though, I've been thinking?
Huh?
StockX? What'd you order?
Yeah, like some kicks. I went back to the Jordans. It's been a while since I scooped up some Jordans. Then I got some Air Maxes. Really nice.
Nice.
Man, what else?
Yeah, I got one more coming.
Let's go.
Just some Jordans.
So, bro, after you do it once, it's just fun.
It goes crazy.
I'll add two more.
Then they give you them updates like, hey, man, it's 35% off right now for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. You're like, what?
All right, one more is not going to kill it.
Yeah,
I've already done three.
Let me move this out of the savings into the checkings so I can clear that. This isn't one right here, but it's a lot of college softball, which I've been watching and enjoying.
Yeah.
This umpire right here, I love his energy. Listen to this guy.
1,800. Bell is frozen here.
Likes it.
Bell is frozen here.
You can't keep that up the whole game.
No way.
You can, bro. You're going to have a headache.
Not on the other side of 40.
You can't keep that up, bro.
Better stay hydrated.
Strong.
Oh, that was his strike call.
That was a strike.
Yeah,
Bell is frozen here.
Dang, that is wild. How do you get that high?
I thought for a second it was like a home run.
Out of there.
And the umpire was responding to the dong ball.
Dang. Just happy?
Yeah, just enthusiastic, yeah. Fan of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Bro, I went out there and watched my son do his little umping thing that he does. Yeah. And I tell him, you can't be involved with the teams.
No,
you have to call the game.
Yeah.
I see him waving kids in like you can't do that, bro.
You can't wait to get in. Come on, come on.
He said, get down, get down. I was like, no, you can't do that.
Got to get home for lunch.
How old are the kids that he umpires for?
All the way up to like teenage.
Oh, does he?
Real, real small when there's coach pitch.
Okay.
All the way up to teenagers.
See, to me, if I knew to move the game along, I think I'd call a lot of strikes.
Yeah.
If I... He should be swinging.
Yep.
Strong. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, yep. Like, I would set the strike zone would be like the top of the plate to the top of the kids.
Got him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting on out of here.
Yeah, we're not going to be walking a bunch of people today. No. We're not going to have one of those games. We're going to either hit it or strike out. That's what we're going to do.
Let's get it on out of here.
Yep.
Now, what would the skipper comes up to you in between innings says, man, I'm trying to teach the kids the game.
I would say,
so you're being liberal with your strike zone,
I'd say, sir, it's 98 degrees out here. I've got this chest protector on, these shin guards. If you want to, like, be giving me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you might want to tell your kids to go up there swinging today.
Get this over with.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Friday. What you drinking and what you thinking.
Mm.
Polo called in.
Oh, God.
Brought us had enough. Let's go to Polo in Garland. What are you drinking? What are you thinking, Polo?
Man, I just came from Outback Steakhouse out in Mesquite. Y'all don't ever go there.
Yeah, you're gonna bitch about the service. There's no kidding about that, right? You're like America's food critic. You're like the Michelin guy.
They gave us some meat that wasn't done all the way.
Yeah.
So
you need to pick better restaurants. Then it's always their fault.
But are you okay today?
I'm great. No, I'm great, man. You always come on bitching about restaurants. That's all we ever hear, bitching about restaurants.
Okay, service. I haven't said anything about the criminal ACC
well, whatever. Yeah, keep it going. Anyway, keep it moving.
I kind of talked to my homeboy Gavin. What's up?
Gavin?
Why are you talking about these other spurs?
What's up?
Call him like the Michelin man. I do like that Outback in Mesquite, though.
It's a good one.
That rankled me.
Those
blooming onions, man. They're
damn. My man comes on. He gets the worst service ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I was at a restaurant. It was Shell Shack.
Yeah,
and he was like complaining about that. And I think we saw
you
him.
You see Polo?
Yeah.
Face to face?
Yeah.
He got sauce.
And then Hurtado one night, he was
him
bitching
the
about Hurtado.
He had his girl with him?
Yeah.
Was she on a leash?
And the kiddo.
And the kids, yeah.
Get over there and talk to Broadus.
The biggest zero on the tip line you've ever seen.
Damn. Hold on. I like this Polo question.
You need to pick better restaurants then. It's always their fault.
But are you okay today?
You okay, fam?
That was one of the most eventful what you drinking and what you thinking we've ever had.
That was great.
All right, that's it, dog.
Is it the Fan After Dark? Blake and his lady were checking out Myers. Is it boomers confused by technology there on the ring cam? Delivery driver there at the in the 15-mile-an-hour driveway. Umpire energy or brought us with Polo in Garland? I'm going to go with the umpire myself, Chief. How about you?
Give me Polo and Broadus.
Lucius?
Where was I? Oh, boomers confused by technology.
Technology.
I do the same thing anytime I hear that word.
Yeah.
Wolchuk?
I agree. I'm going to go with the ring camera.
Uh-oh. Vote for me.
We're tied at 2.
There we go.
Jump on to @GBagNation's Twitter account, @GBagNation. You can follow us all when you get there because our handles are in the bio. We'll create an Insta poll. We'll announce the winner on the other side of LA Live, and you will determine who your G-Bag of the Day champ is. And speaking of LA Live, here's Lucius.
And remember that G-Bag of the Day is brought to you by EastDallasDiesel.com on the Polo Truck Tuesday,
baby. I love you, East Dallas Diesel.
I love you, baby.
We love you, baby.
All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James, baby.
Well, all right, you squares, time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
I don't think you should be doing as a grown-ass man. Let's get right into it. Number one is having a hissy fit. You a grown-ass man throwing a temper tantrum.
Oh, speak
like, have
yourself.
You ever heard of being stoic? As a grown man, you shouldn't be going back and forth screaming and hollering.
Now,
you a whole man. Lock in.
Yeah.
Number two is having asthma. Just breathe. You're 25 years old and you ain't outgrow that shit yet? Talking about, anybody see my asthma pump? Bro can't handle air as a grown man. Lock in.
Yeah.
Just breathe. Just breathe. That is awesome.
Yeah, lock in, dog. Lock in. This is wow. LA Live for Tuesday, June 2nd.
Oh, man, them bills are due, baby. It's June 2nd.
June 2nd already.
2026. That's what I said. God. I just paid y'all 30 days ago.
Yeah,
2026. It's the Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live. Welcome in, folks.
Ow, yow.
We're busting out of some serious funk, y'all. Shout out to the first time, last time, and long time listeners of this here station. Now, you gentlemen talk about the experiences of being a girl dad.
Yeah.
Sure.
It can be stressful at times. But the boy dads, though. I try to tell you about the boy dads.
Tell me about it.
Boys get into all types of goofiness.
Yeah, wait, yeah.
Boys will embarrass you, bro. Boys are real hard to keep up with. Think about all the things you did when you were a young boy that your parents don't even know about. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Awful.
Mischievous.
Yes.
Trying to prove ourselves.
Yes.
Violent.
Very much so. Very much so. All types of weird stuff. I remember I was throwing peaches at cars they were driving by one time. That's what we did for fun.
I just stuck with the eggs myself.
Good for you. Good for you. I probably would have got a whooping from taking the eggs. You didn't eat the eggs?
Wah. Yeah, you ever like see like some community newsletters about your activities? Like, we had some incidents of eggs being thrown at cars in the park. Please talk to your kids about this.
Miss Dawson's over there eating a bug.
100%.
Well, we have a United Airlines flight out of Newark headed to Spain. Had to turn around an hour and a half into the flight.
Oh, man.
We're an hour and a half into the flight, and we have to turn around. The Bluetooth situation.
Yeah.
There was a possible security threat after someone named their Bluetooth device a certain four-letter word. Oh, geez. Now, according to passengers, the name was Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. You know. The FAA and United Airlines did not confirm that as of yet. They just keep saying a four-letter certain four-letter word.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. But passengers are saying it was a 16-year-old boy that named his Bluetooth Bomb and was asked to fix it, but he didn't.
So now you're on the Do Not Fly list.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, fam.
That's crazy.
Think about the bill that the parents are about to give with these fines.
Brutal.
That's a fine, bro.
Yep.
You got to have to pay for that gas. You got to do something.
Might be jail time.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The plane had to fly back to Newark to do a full security sweep of the plane. And every passenger had to get out and go through TSA again.
Oh.
Wow.
All-time nightmare.
And going to Spain, right?
Going to Spain, bro. You're going on a vacation. This is how you started it off. You costing your parents so much trauma right now.
Idiotic kid for sure. But, I mean, did the plane overreact?
He wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, I get
it. Bluetooth network.
I get it. But bomb on a plane? You can't play with these boys.
Just in case.
You're right.
You know, I get it.
Dawson, you hate to fly.
I do hate to fly. Yeah.
I mean, if somebody did that, you'd be on that plane in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I would also like ask the pilot, like, what evidence do we have that there's an actual bomb? An idiot kid named his Bluetooth network Bomb.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not like he's saying he has a bomb. It was just if I'm reading a book and it has the word bomb in it, do we have to shut everything down now? Because the word bomb has been uttered on this plane.
I would think with technology, you'd not want to utter bomb.
Yeah, and I feel like
the book, I think, is one thing, and I understand what you're saying. But if somebody's got something on a device that got through security that has bomb on it, I think they're in the right. I think the airline's trying to do their best not to have one of their planes blow up over the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. I think if you're an hour and a half out, though, and the kid really has a bomb, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that bombs can be engineered.
Yeah, it's kind of
stabbing
funny
their shoes
in Bluetooth.
Is there, was there not a wireless closer? You would think like, oh, we need to land this plane now. We don't have 90 minutes to go back to the same airport. Is there something
that's what
closer?
I would think.
It's
would,
like,
why would you want to risk another hour and a half? You know, if indeed that was an issue, if you never know when this thing's going to go off, if you're worried about it, so land. Where's the nearest airport we can land at?
So the thought was maybe he's got a bomb in his luggage.
That maybe he can.
Maybe my phone was called bomb.
Like,
can
maybe my phone activate, is a bomb. Activate the luggage. That's what I would worry about.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. Like once you figure out that it's just a 16-year-old kid playing games, I wouldn't turn the plane around. You're still going to get these fines or whatnot, but we're not turning this plane around. But that's boy dad problems out here. There's a whole family right now shaking in their boots because they worried about what that bill's going to look like.
Probably not allowed to fly on United every day.
Exactly. Boy dad problems.
Where are you at?
I'm in North Liberty.
Doing what?
I'm at Asher's house.
Your mom's on her way to get you.
Okay.
I am f-ing pissed. Call your mom and tell her where the f*** you're at.
Yeah. Boy, dad problems out here.
Oh, man.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Yay! Oh, hey! Slide to the left. Slide to the right. How do you guys feel about the First Amendment auditors?
What are those?
Didn't know what you were doing that
First
now.
Amendment auditors are individuals who use video recording or photography to test whether public employees, law enforcement, or private businesses respect constitutional rights in public spaces.
Yeah, I think these guys are great. I think they're doing a public service.
I was going to ask you, are they necessary or are they just chasing the timeline for some money?
Yeah, I think you know, a lot of law officials have become just like accustomed to trampling on our rights. And we need a revolution of them going back to respecting the rights. And this is an important part of that process.
People don't like them. They're outside.
Yeah, and there's some that are total jerks. There's some that aren't cool about the way they're doing it. But like the lawyer who's like, man, I really don't want to have to sue you because you're actually trampling all over my rights right now. And I actually have a total right to be here. And I'm not raising my voice. So you can't say that I'm being harassing in any way. You know, I think those guys are doing a good job, but I definitely think there's examples of people like this who are, you know, making it worse.
How about this one right here? He's standing outside with a camera just recording people, and these two ladies come up and confront him over it.
Hi.
Can we help you?
Oh, well, can you help me with?
Well, what are you doing?
Taking some pictures and video.
Of what?
Of your business.
Of what?
Of your business.
Why?
Well, I'm investigating your company.
For what?
Can't tell you right now.
Wrong.
And who are you with?
I'm standing here with myself.
Do you have a business card?
Do you?
Yeah, it's inside.
Okay, sure, I'll take one if you have one.
Yeah, no, you don't. You're not getting one.
Okay.
Harley, go call the police. Please.
For what?
You're not getting one.
You do not have permission to film our company.
Who says I need it? I mean, I already got permission.
Oh, from who?
There's a document that was signed.
Really?
Yeah, by a group of men.
Okay, can I please see it?
Oh, it's on file, everyone. Mm-hmm. It's on public file, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's called the Constitution.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, reference that. I see how you're all hidden and can't see your face.
Well, that's my choice. I mean, you have the same choice to do that yourself.
Yeah. Get the f*** off our property.
Yeah, I do it inside.
He's like Cardnark, dude. He's ready. Yeah. He's ready and equipped to hit you with some great response.
Yeah. He was on deck. He was on point. How much time we got? This dude got attacked. We got a Jeep to try to hit him. Yeah, he swerved at him. He's on the side of the road, man.
What the hell was that, dude? I've had people come up and try to hit me before.
Oh, I bet you have. Can you turn it off while we talk?
No, definitely not.
I didn't mean that. That dude never.
You didn't mean you got rushed off the road like that?
That was
an accident?
Yeah, man.
You didn't mean that?
What are you recording? What's up?
I'm not really inclined to get into it with you now.
Why not?
Because of your past actions and your track record with knowing you for about 8.5 seconds.
So they're going to call the cops. That's why I wanted to let you know.
What do you think they're going to do? You're going to do nothing.
No, I was just curious. I wasn't going to hit you.
It's a very believable story.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, Cardnark horse.
Yeah, there's a few little old. what is this, First Amendment Protection Agency, I got a lot of these clips from. Another one is Kansas City Accountability. Those sites on Instagram. Might play some more for you because I pulled a whole lot. It's all over my timeline. Timeline knows what I like to see right now. It knows. First Amendment auditors for L.A. and thighs. And
L.A. and thighs.
And yeah. Lowriders.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds like...
It looked like a good
cheeks.
Event here yeah. today, by the way.
Yeah, oiled up.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like my 14-year-old complaining that my 4-year-old is doing something on the couch that she doesn't like. I think that's...
It's petty.
That's what it reminds me of.
A little petty?
Like, people can't control it if something is annoying them, and they want to find any way to make them stop. You know, yeah. So they weaponize what they think is logic. But really, they're junior Karens in training. I've had multiple conversations with both of them recently about that.
Did you tell them they were junior
yeah,
Karens?
Absolutely.
In
I said, what are you guys doing? Okay, stop
what
worrying about others' free choices.
Yeah.
Go back to being productive or something you can control.
Worry about yourself. You got enough there to keep you busy.
Stuff is hilarious to me. Yeah, I might play some more on a Feel Good Friday to empty out the folder. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the Greek don't rise. That's my time. I'm out of here, y'all.
There he goes. LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We are now 5 minutes from the Rangers pregame show. Quick question, gentlemen. What is more likely tonight? Evaldi extends the scoreless streak over 30. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he would need to go into the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Rangers finally break out offensively and score 6-plus runs for us.
I'm going to go with Evaldi.
Evaldi.
6 runs. These guys don't know what the hell they're talking about.
This is it's exciting, you know, because we're possibly watching the Rangers.
Why are you going to get your guy Dustin May over there?
I mean, you heard what Jared said. Like, he wants
yeah,
to
if
please
he values
me.
Your opinion.
He values it.
He must suck.
Yeah, man.
Are we watching this team become the team that we hoped they were in spring training the last 3 years? I'm not going to rule it out. Okay.
You can pray.
And if you missed the details from earlier,
I'm not going to rule
we
it
are
out.
Screaming on that roller coaster right now.
Seager and Lankford are hitting 500 at AAA Frisco with an on base percentage at 660. Okay.
You're crushing it.
Should be back
some
for
some of the best singles I've ever seen.
Should be back for this weekend series. That'd be my thought right now. If they didn't have any setbacks injury wise today, they were productive. I wouldn't be surprised if Seager tells them, I'm not playing in Frisco again tomorrow. I'll see you guys on.
Yeah. I'm done. Who won G-Bag of the Day? Do you know?
Back at the crib.
Oh, yeah, G-Bag of the Day.
Broadus.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. That was the way the voting was headed last time I checked. Do you have that confirmed on at G-Bag Nation, Chief?
80% Broadus and Polo.
Boom. 81-19. All right. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 635. Just went four flawless like it was nothing. The man has it stuck on automatic. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo. And for Brian Broadus, I'm Gavin Dawson. The Rangers pregame is coming up next year on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.